We want to honor you moms today. We want to honor you moms. There are 8 billion people on earth right now. Every one of them was birthed by a woman. I don't care what's on TV. I don't care how you dress them up. It'll never happen. It will never happen. Today we're honoring moms. We love moms. Moms are wonderful. Moms are not always truthful, though, we have found out. Here's some lies my mother told me. Your mom might have told you these. Do you know that it is illegal to drive with your overhead light on? Do you know if you swallow your gum, it will stay in your stomach for 7 years? Keep making that face and it'll freeze like that. I have eyes in the back of my head. You can't swim for 30 minutes after you eat. Don't sit so close to the TV, you'll go blind. This is always a tragic one. The dog went to live on the big farm. I'm just running to the store for one thing. And lastly, maybe I'll think about it. We love moms, but we honor them. And we know they're in charge. Boss walked into his office one day and the sign said, "I am the boss. Do not forget it." He came back for lunch and somebody put a yellow postie that said, "Your wife called. She wants her sign back." Moms do it all. Moms can multitask. Moms are amazing. I found a picture the other day of, one of the greatest multitasking moms ever, right there. She's at the ball game. She's got the baby in the right arm. She's got the glove in the left. She's catching the foul ball. She's beating the guys to it. That is a great mom right there. I'll tell you that right now. That is a great mom right there. That is a wonderful mom right there. Let me hear you say one more time about the word. Because everything we're saying this morning is about the moms. And it's founded in the word. Say the confession with me right where you are. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Do you realize that in the scripture, the word mother is mentioned in the scripture 330 times at least, depending on the translation? And do you realize that the two words birthing person is a communist word designed to denigrate and downgrade the beauty of mothers, and it is not mentioned once in Scripture. Did you know that? Birthing person is not in Scripture anywhere. Today we celebrate ladies. They are oh so special, but they're oh so complicated. Oh, they are. Heard about the guy who went to work. He said, "My wife is so negative." He said, "I remember the car seat, the stroller, and the diaper bag, yet all she can talk about is how I forgot the baby." But moms are special. The great actor, Denzel Washington, what a great guy. Many years ago, he was in town filming a movie, and he was at the Pelicans game, and the owner at that time was a friend of ours, and we were down there close, and I had Tyler with me, and he said, "Come over and meet Denzel." And Tyler and I, and he's trying to introduce Denzel to this little fella. Tyler was just a little guy. We got a cute little picture of him and Denzel. But the whole, Denzel, they're reaching for him and grabbing at him and everything like that. He was trying to be nice to the little kid. Here's what he said. "My mother never gave up on me." He said, "I messed up in school so much they were sending me home. But my mother kept sending me right on back," he said. He's given her praise and glory today. Abraham Lincoln said, "I remember my mother's prayer. They've always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life." John Wesley, the great theologian, said it this way. He said, "I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England." pretty strong, isn't it? Two facts, though, about moms. Number one, moms love their babies, but number two, moms sometimes want to choke their babies. You know that, don't you? Just like Denzel's mother sending them back. But I'm going to tell you, don't you touch their babies. This is where the war is today. People are trying to touch their babies. They're trying to take their babies. They're trying to steal their innocence. And the perversions, hearing Mr. Schwab, these perverted people, and changing rules even for sex with children. Don't touch their babies. I'm telling you, I think that's where the war is going to come, when the mamas rise up. The war is to demean the role of moms in order to go after the children. It's real. There are no more boundaries in their battle. They will go as low as they have to go. And each inch of encroachment is against that word which is wise. Each step, each plan, each law is against that word that is already wise. But many in leadership and in influence believe it is their role today, whether it's the teachers' unions, whether it's the political leaders, business leaders, entertainment leaders, they feel it is their job to liberate children from the beliefs of their parents. That's where we are today. One recent foolish person, her name is Melissa Harris Perry. Get her name right. She's a commentator for MSNBC. Listen to this insanity. We have to break through this idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to the whole communities. That's a commentator. Former White House Chief of Staff Terry McAuliffe said it this way. Parents have no business passing judgment on what their kids are taught at school. If I read some library books to you that are in schools for little kids right now, you would be more offended at me and you'd be on the phone this afternoon being very upset. Not long ago, the president stood in the Rose Garden and said, "There's no such thing as someone else's child. Our nation's children are all our children." Now, don't get deceived by saying, "Oh, don't you understand? We are working here." I understand that. But the underlying thing, that is depraved. That's a depraved mind that starts in here and comes out of a depraved mouth. The ghoulish objective is to destroy moms, to emasculate dads, and to groom children right now. This next statement you'll hear on Father's Day. How do you destroy a nation? You destroy a nation by attacking a family. You destroy a family by attacking the father. You destroy a father by attacking the mother. You destroy a mother by attacking their children. Demonic attacks are on the rise. They've become very sophisticated, very strategic. I'm asking you to be awake, very awake. In fact, we have found out that in some of the services that are offered, even some of the family services right now, pedophiles have infiltrated family services right now because it's an easy access to vulnerable children and troubled children. I'm calling today, we need some loud mamas. We need some loud mamas like Denzel's mama. Like Lincoln's mama, like John Wesley's mama. We need some loud mamas. Real moms love their babies, and real moms are ferocious. Don't touch their babies. Well, that's just a learned thing. No, it's not. It's something in them. It's even in animals. Have you seen the videos of these silly tourists, you know? Got their short pants on with their black socks and they're out in their little bandline shirt and they're in the Smoky Mountains and they decide to go pet a little bear cub. And the next thing you see, they're running and things are flying. They're diving in the car because mama bear came out of the woods right then and said, "You're not going to do that." That is God put that in there. You look at some of these things, and you know God had to. There's a natural thing. I watch her sometimes. I've known her a long time. I've known her since she was 2 years old. And the young girl that we used to play racquetball and smile and go places and have fun, do that. All of a sudden, that mother thing was. But that's what God puts in you, and it's there. You don't have to learn it or practice it. It's there. Don't touch their babies. It's in them. That's a great thing that God has placed in each mom. A mom has the ability to cry out to God more than any other parent. A mother has an ability to intercede. A mother has an ability to touch God. You have a special sound, mom. Matthew 15 tells us the story of a mom who had a special sound. So then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. By the way, this is the only travel that Jesus did outside of Jewish territory in his 3 years. And behold, a woman of Canaan, she was a Canaanite, which means she was not a covenant woman. You got that? Okay? She was not a covenant woman. And she came from that region and she cried out. She was desperate. Remember I told you moms have a sound, the ability to make a sound when interceding for the babies. She cried out. This was desperate. She cried out to him. She said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." Now that's a good start right there. Out of the box, you need to know who you're calling on. You need to know who he is. And she's letting people know that she knows who he is. She might not have been born in the area, but she was putting things together. It's not all there yet, but there was something inside her. And that was that desperate survival looking for Jesus. "Have mercy on my daughter is severely demon-possessed." He didn't even answer her, it says. Not a word. Sounds cruel. Seems uncaring, doesn't it? He didn't answer. His disciples said, come on. Let's get out of here. Let's send her away, for she cries out after us. We don't want to deal with her either. That's what it says. Let's keep going. Actually, one translation says she was screaming out, "Please do something." It was a desperate cry from a mom, and a sound that only a mom could make. "Please do something." And then he did answer. He said, "I was not sent except to those to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He's speaking about he's sent first to the covenant people. Seems harsh, doesn't it? And notice this change. Then she came and she worshiped him. That's the turning point. That's the turning point. And he's waiting to hear that sound. Certainly he knew what he was going to do. But he wanted to hear out of her mouth. He wanted to hear her. Your salvation. We love your mama. We love your grandmas. We love whoever was the female influence upon you. But they're not going to get you into heaven. There has to be a sound out of your mouth, out of your heart right now. God has no grandchildren, only children. She said, she worshiped and she said, "Lord, help me." I don't think she said, you see the movies, "Lord, help me." No, it was a sound that cut through the clamor. "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, again, I mean, he's this is amazing. "It's not good to take the children or Israel's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Are you hearing? Something's not adding up. Where's loving Jesus? Where's the pictures of him with the halo? Where's the soft-spoken voice? The limp hand that reaches out like that they want to depict today. No, by the way, do you know the Jewish people referred to the Gentiles lovingly as dogs? I did a message many, many years ago when it was a popular song. The title of the message is, "Who Let the Dogs Out?" And of course, the answer was Jesus Christ let the dogs out. He let the dogs out. They're no longer. Watch this. And you know she's a mom because she's got an answer real quick coming right back. He said, I don't throw it to the dogs. Jesus was, by the way, he was also teaching a lesson right now. He was teaching a lesson for his disciples and all people around. He was teaching a lesson on the importance of persistence when seeking God. There's no expiration. He's teaching you, we must be persistent when we're seeking God. And as long as this thing is going on, he's teaching a lesson here. When seeking God, Jonathan Cain wrote the classic song, Don't Stop Believing. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop praying right now. And she said, yeah, right. And basically what she's saying, I understand the covenant protocol. She understands that concept, Lord. But she said, here's how you know she's a mom. And she might have had some Jewish relative in her down the tree somewhere. Because even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Don't you love that laser beam focus? She wasn't going to take no for an answer. She wasn't going to take no for an answer. And first off, she called as if she knew everything, but she knew the right name, Jesus, Son of David. And he says, no, you're not. She said, I understand that. So she kicked it up another notch. Her worship went a little bit louder. You know, in fact, he had to do something because she wasn't going to stop. There's no stopping mama here right now. She said, I understand the protocol, but even the little dogs get the crumbs which fall. That is laser beam focus. And then here's the twist. Jesus answered her and said to her. Now, first off, his first couple of statements are made to her, but it's made for everybody. Got it? He's saying, don't you know that? And he's probably not even looking at her. He's probably not even looking at her. But notice two times here, the focus and the personal zeroing in of the loving Jesus Christ to this lady. And Jesus answered and said, I could put directly to her. He said, oh, woman. And this was a term of affection. Affection came out of his voice. Affection was in his eyes. Affection made everything stop around him. And he made this statement, great is your faith. Say that with me. Great is your faith. Remember that line right there. So let it be as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. When you see the line of someone being spoken to and the reply is this person of great faith. Do you know that the statement great faith about a person is only used two times in Scripture? Once here, and there's another time in the book of Matthew also when the centurion was asking for help. And he said, because of your great faith. They weren't in the covenant club, either one of them. They weren't in the covenant club. How dare him? But the thing that got his attention was the persistence and the great faith. That same persistence where we read in the Old Testament where he said, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. This is the kind of faith that produces results. In the letter of the law, she had no rights. In the letter of the law, she had no access. But Jesus tested her faith. He wanted to make sure it was genuine. You know, over the years, I've had people call me and it's an emergency right now. They've got to see me. Or they've got to have this attention right now. And I have found out many, many times, sometimes that right now is just to appease a conscience. And they want magic. They don't really want a word. And many times as time passes a little bit, you find out who's serious. You find out who just wants to get enough to get by. And you find out who really wants to know. And sometimes time needs to pass. I think we all know people in our lives that are like that, and they're calling us. But then I've had other people say, it's an emergency, I really got to talk to you, and I've been involved in something else, couldn't get back, and maybe I got to them a day or so later, and it's, oh, it was fine, it all passed. Most of the time it does. And Jesus was letting them know, I will stop for great faith. I will stop for that. He tested her. He wanted to see if it was genuine. And I like one of the scriptures. It says, and the Lord had mercy upon her. Jesus had mercy. David said it this way, the Lord is, and he lists a bunch of attributes, but I pulled the one that says he is great in mercy. Mercy responding back. He saw a mom of great faith, and that's who I'm speaking to today. I'm going to call you moms of great faith. We've heard great stories of inspiration about moms of great faith. You've heard quotes from Abraham Lincoln, Charles Spurgeon. Spoke about his mom and the great faith of his mom. Billy Graham talks about the faith of his mom that took him to Sunday school. President Washington, there's so much written about the faith of his mom. Even in the darkest day of the Nixon White House, as he's resigning, in his darkest day of everything he could have said, he stood in that room when he was leaving and referred to his mother as a saint. He drew on that at that moment. You even see Jesus in his death moment, in his darkest moment. I'm talking about moms of influence. And while he's hanging there, one of the pronouncements out of his mouth, he wants to make sure that his mama was going to be taken care of. Moms of influence, moms of great faith. Today I want to honor moms. Moms who will exhibit great faith. And you say, well, I can't do that. I'm just a mom. I can't do that. Do you know that every point of your journey, you can be a mom of great faith? Even when they're little and even when they're older right now. Some moms are new on this journey, and those moms are fun to watch. Those moms are fun to watch. Some of them are great ones, like the one at the ballpark. We were at an airport the other day, and it was funny watching the young, and you could tell the young moms from the moms who had been moms for a while. You know, the young moms, they not only do they have them, they've got this kind of new bag and this newfangled thing they're pulling behind, and pretty soon you look, there's some guy walking like this. He's walking, and he's toting everything there. But it's fun to watch the new moms. They're fun. They're fun to watch the new moms. Some of them are grizzled veterans, though. Most moms at times have labored almost in anonymity. Here's one thing I know about you moms. All of you are weary. All of you could just use a bit of a rest. You carry a big load. Someone said it's not wise to ask your wife what time's dinner going to be ready when she's not finished cutting the grass yet. Moms are weary. I heard one young mom say, I used to have functioning brain cells, but I've traded them in for children, she said. Here's another thing I know about moms. You have cheered in successes. You've made it more than enough of mac and cheese. You've wiped more than your share of noses and other things. You've put on Band-Aids. You've soothed nighttime bad dreams. And here's something else. Not only have you cheered, but you have all cried your heart out during the difficult times, crying over your baby. Today we honor you. We honor all of you wherever you are in your journey. What do you mean wherever you are? Some moms have struggled with the massive challenges of sickness, disease, handicaps, or even disabilities. We honor you today. Some today even are filled with regret and sadness, maybe because of a mistake. But we honor the heart of a mom. Some moms are not biological moms, but know this, it has nothing to do with being a mom. Some of the people that have had the profound influence on many of us, even us as little children, were maybe Sunday school teachers, and they were not moms. Church, churches around America have been touched with a mom who maybe had, did not have her own children, but spoke life and spoke dignity and blessed and stood in that place. That's a mom of great faith. Those with struggles and regrets, I say to you, open your eyes, lift up your countenance, because God loves you and we love you. Some adopted moms have made some of the biggest contributions who've adopted children. Today we honor the moms of adoption. We applaud you. These moms have raised CEOs, presidents, preachers, and some wildly successful people. Probably no greater Broadway singer on the planet, Kristen Chenoweth. What a voice from that Wicked soundtrack and those other things. What a great voice. A little girl was adopted in Oklahoma. Learned how to sing Amy Grant songs in her church. Dave Thomas, who named his hamburger after his little girl, Wendy. Dave Thomas was an adopted young man. Presidents Clinton and President Ford adopted as little babies. The one guy whose signature you can find on the Declaration of Independence, John Hancock, was taken in by a family that wanted a baby. His legacy will live forever. The great Babe Ruth could hit a home run from the right side or the left side. And when he was really feeling, but he wasn't in shape like the ball players today. Legend has it, he'd slip the boys at the ballpark some money and they'd go buy him hot dogs while he was sitting there on the bench so he could eat the whole time. He'd get a little frisky a couple times and he'd walk out and he'd get a little pitcher trying to be a little cute with him. And he'd say, look, I'm going to hit it right over there. And sure enough, he'd hit it right over there. He would do that. Babe Ruth, adopted young boy. The great Faith Hill. What a voice. What a voice. Adopted. Some little lady up in Washington State said, I'm going to adopt this little boy. I'm going to name him Steve. I hope he'll do something with his life. Mrs. Jobs adopted Steve. But to wherever you are, to this type of mom, I thank the moms for their nurture, for their labor, and for their prayers. Your care has not gone unnoticed. Maybe you haven't heard a thank you, but it has not gone unnoticed. And especially in heaven, is it not unnoticed? Some of you today, because of the society more and more common, some of you are moms in what they call blended families now. And it is here where a godly mom labors and shines as one of the greatest pictures of God's love, his mercy, his grace, and his nurture. They are showing great faith and great influence by bringing them in. That steps above even a biological thing. Some of you are here today, you've already raised your children, and you think it's all over for you. You need to put your antennas up as you walk around. You can be a blessing. Many still need your love. Many need your help. Many need your experience. Many need your testimony. Many need an impartation of your great faith. So moms, your coffee break's over, get busy. And sadly, because of fatherless homes, it's tougher than it should be. That's another story for a month away. To the moms that have faced rejection today, though, to the moms who've been deserted, a mate who left somebody there. Read a story today in the newspaper, one of the young men the Saints drafted, single mom. The two jobs. That's a mom of great faith. Know this, if you face rejection and hurt, there is a God. Very much what you said a minute ago. And God knows. There's a God, Grandma used to say, there's a God that rules in the affairs of men. Heard it more times than I thought. Today we honor you. Truth is, the mom thing is the hardest job on the planet. Actually, they a couple of years ago, it's probably more now since the way it is now. Somebody took a mom's job and they put the chart to it, and they begin to do their hours and log their hours, and they never punch out. And they started saying, and this was a couple of years ago, that the salary for the mom needs to start at $100,000. How many of you would think that would be right about now? The salary would start at least $100,000, if not more. And you know it's more now. You know it's more now. My Sunday morning McDonald's trip now is $5 more than it was 2 years ago. I know it's hitting me now. Now it's serious. In fact, last Easter, some of the kids were dying potatoes. They couldn't afford the eggs. Those of you who have faced that, we honor you today. On the other side of the coin, we're laughing a little bit. But many moms and many children dread this day. They dread this day perhaps because it conjures up some sorrows, some regret instead of laughter. And if your life was not a Hallmark card, and nobody's was, don't believe all the pictures you see. Everybody has had struggles. Everybody has. Perhaps it was a biological mom that brought some hurt, and it's hard to honor today. Maybe it was a disappointment. Maybe it was a rejection. Just like I said, the moms who labored and thought nobody knew, those of you who suffered, God knows. And there's love there. And you need to decide a perspective to take this morning. Can I impart some science to you right now? We talk about, I'm going to give you science. I believe science. I hear that today. We had no choice how we got here. But we have every choice to decide how we will live and how we will exit this planet. So don't, that's all, that kills me. See, I didn't choose to be born. This kid's going to be a genius, man. He figured that out. And just as we make another affirmation, I wrote another affirmation, perhaps. If it's not a Hallmark card, it's a little awkward and it kind of stings just a little bit. Can I love on you today? I have failed if you walk out discouraged. I have failed. I've not done it. I am here. I hope you feel me as a cheerleader. And you may feel, though, well, your story is in my story. People love to say that. I wrote this. Maybe you need to learn a prayer like this. Thank you, Lord, that you use this person regardless of their life situation. Let's just stop right there. I've heard people say I'm an accident. No, you're not. Thank you, Lord, that you use this person regardless of their life situation to bring life to me. I am breathing today because you used this person. They just furnished transportation. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. You're looking good. Also, can I say something else to you? Perhaps you were raised in chaos, or you were left alone. Some of you are here today, and you were left alone in your young years. They call them latchkey kids in the old days. I don't know what they're called today. And you had to do things all on your own. Can I lovingly say something to you? Maybe you came out of a house of addiction. Maybe you came out of a house of anger, of neglect. Remember when I said you had no choice of how you got here, but you have every choice in how you're going to walk and how you're going to exit this planet? Let me give you an alert right now. You do not have to repeat those mistakes. I was raised in that, and this is what we're going to be. No, 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 no. You have to get on top of the Word of God, which is wise, and stand on it and neglect it and not believe it and say, I refuse that. You do not have to repeat mistakes. That will depend directly on your attitudes and your heart. In our reading today, we saw and heard the heart of a mom. She was struggling. Her baby was not doing well, and she will do what she has to do. She was not in the covenant line, but she elbowed her way to the front of the line. She just knew in her heart that Jesus could do something. That is your starting point for any overwhelming need. If you can just get through that, if you can just elbow, the woman said, if I can reach through and even touch the hem of his garment, if you'll start with that, that is the beginning of God doing something, stopping and hearing the prayer. You know, when it said he stopped and talked to her, here's what the Message Bible said at verse 28. It says, and Jesus gave in. And he said, oh, woman, your faith is something else, baby. Your faith is something else. Are y'all hearing this girl right here? This is what I'm talking about. Look at her right now. You want what you want is what you're going to get. And right then her daughter became well. This is the quality that touches the heart of God. This is the quality that brings healing and blessing to your family. And mom, wherever you are in this journey today, here's what I'm going to tell you to do. I want you to speak faith. I want you to speak great faith. I want you to stand in great faith. I want you to stay in great faith. Your legacy will be a legacy of faith. We read a legacy a few moments ago, and you got to know that was all about faith. Your legacy. Oh, it's not going to be easy. It's not magic. You're going to get more weary than you are right now at times. And you're going to say, God, you're going to help me right here. You're going to help me get myself right, bring myself together. He will do that if you stay diligent, right? You do that right now. Because there is an outcome of victory to those who will stand in great faith. Great faith will stand the test, mama. As her spirit and as her cry touch the heart of Jesus, today that sound and that faith can change your life and your situation. And it may be that you just need that second wind. Be encouraged, every one of you. You're here. It's not an accident. I honor each of you today. You may not be able to give a child every material thing. You may be struggling from day to day with issues and provision right now. But you can impart a tangible, living, breathing faith because you have been given a special God-given sound. The greatest gift a mom can give right now is to make sure that she has given her life to Jesus because that is the example. And as you continue to love God, to serve God, to walk in great faith, I think you will feel God's mercy, God's love, and God's tenderness on each of you. So remember, to moms and to all the rest, moms of great faith touch God and their kids. And with all of that to all the moms, I can only say one thing. Wow. Stand up.